Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and we have a story now that brings us from the Brazilian rainforest all the way back to America's most prestigious university. Large swaths of state land have been snatched up by business interests in Brazil looking to take advantage of natural resources.
Investors have increasingly turned towards farmland since the financial crisis in 2007, 2008, because farmland is understood as a relatively safe asset still. Brazil is one of the top five countries that are targeted by foreign investment. Land is still relatively cheap to acquire, but at the same time, Brazil offers a very stable environment for investments for companies.
That's journalist Alicia Prager, who together with Flavia Miliorancy has been investigating Brazil's rich Cerrado region for the environmental news service Mongabay. And one company connected to foreign investment in that area has a familiar name to Americans, Harvard Management Company. That's a subsidiary of Harvard University, responsible for managing the school's massive endowment of more than $37 billion. Alicia and Flavia's reporting found that attractive land in the Brazilian state of Bahia is owned by a company called Caracol. And Caracol is controlled by Harvard's endowment firm through a shell company. Now, farmers say they were forced from their land when Caracol acquired it, and a few still remain, arguing the company is not the rightful owner.
The Cerrado, it's a very biodiverse Brazilian biome that has been quickly deforested by the agribusiness activity. That's an area that's very far from the state capital and also very far from the political institutions. It's not much said about it on the news. But it's an area where you clearly see the contrast between the Cerrado native vegetation and the expansion of the agribusiness, especially soybean, but also corn and eucalyptus. So we visited a rural town called Riachão das Neves, where we talked to small-scale farmers who were driven off the land. Over 20 years ago, there were around 240 families living in this very large area of 140,000 hectares. It's more or less the size of Los Angeles. And little by little were driven off the land by people that were supposedly the owners. So today, not many of them are still looking to stay in this piece of land, not only because they lost a lot of money investing in the crops and the houses, but also because of the violence of these people that claim the ownership of the land.
Flavia, you mentioned that there were essentially some bullying tactics used to get some of these families off of the land. What were some of those tactics? And by the way, who was doing the forcing? Do we know who was taking control of this land and forcing these families off?
One of the sources that we interviewed is Antonio Augusto França. He's a small farmer who lives today in Riachão on his state pension. And he was one of the most outspoken during the interview. He seemed a bit anxious to tell us the whole story. And he told me he was directly threatened to leave the land some time ago.
The gunslingers arrived saying that the land had an owner. There were threats. I myself left the place with a gun pointed at me. They came and said, "You'll leave one way or another." I was harvesting corn at the time, and in the neighboring association, there was even one death. He was our companion. There was a conflict, and they killed him.
We don't know much about this case specifically because it wasn't investigated at all, but that was confirmed by the state prosecutor working on this. So basically, they were threatened. They have their crops destroyed. They have their houses destroyed in an effort to drive them off the land.
Now, what has the Brazilian government said about these tactics and the destruction of people's property as they were driven off of this land?
In 2014, because of the escalating violence, the state of Bahia decided to intervene. So they mapped out the properties, the documents, they talked to people that were alleging the land conflicts. And the state investigation concluded that the farmland was indeed taken from the state via the expulsion of the workers with some worrying environmental distress.
The case is still pending, and yet it looks like it's bending toward some recompense for the people who may have been kicked off.
Yeah, it's 4 years that they have been waiting and waiting and waiting for a solution, and nothing happens. Some people say that they have received some pressure from agribusiness politicians, but we cannot be sure about this. But I contacted the state prosecutor office and they acknowledged that was a huge case and that's why they were trying to have a mediation for the conflict to give some results for these families that are waiting for so long.
All right, well, let's take this case to Cambridge, Massachusetts now, to the home of Harvard University. Alicia Prager, you've been covering this end of the story. Harvard University is one of these international investors. Investing what? Its endowment or its spare money for investments for its own future? Why is Harvard involved in this business?
Exactly, it's the endowment fund that invests. We don't know many, many details about the involvement exactly. We contacted Harvard a couple of times over this. And the reason why Harvard would be interested in investing into farmland or other assets like that is that they need to reinvest their endowment fund to have the capital flowing.
Now, Alicia, a lot of universities in the United States have rules about ethical investing, making sure that university money isn't invested in things, sometimes like deforestation. Does Harvard have rules like that? And is there any indication that some of those rules may have been violated here?
Yes, they do have guidelines toward sustainable investments. They have all of that laid out on their website publicly. But in many cases, companies use complex structures to invest into projects like that. For instance, in this case, Harvard isn't investing directly, right? They are owning Paracol via two subsidiaries. So it's all very complex structures and very complex to track these kind of investments.
So Flavia, back in Brazil, have any of the people you've talked to, any of the families or others, made a connection between what's happened in their community and the global financial market, global investment, or even a big famous university in the United States?
The small farmers, they are not very aware of this connection. They know that could be possibly also owned by some Americans, as how they say. So although they are not very aware of that, they do have to face this bigger problem today, which is a very new trend in Brazil.
Flavia Miliarenzi and Alicia Prager, thank you both so much for being here.
Thanks a lot, too.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Flavia Miliarenzi and Alicia Prager have a 6-part series in Mongabay, the Global Environmental News Service, on Brazil's Cerrado region. We reached out to Harvard Management Company to respond to these allegations, and they declined to go on the record, saying they do not comment on individual investments. We also reached out to Caracol for this story, and we haven't heard back.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.